You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
But I remember we'd go to some of those meetings way back in the 70s, when I was 10 years old, you know. We came out of Lakewood Church, you know, Houston, Texas. John Osteen was our pastor, and of course, Joel was just a kid at that time, and he's done okay. But we'd go in to visit our hometown and go to that Assembly of God church, and it was an old little Assembly of God, old line assembly, and I mean, those ladies would get excited, and they talk about coming to church. They wouldn't go to church. They'd go to church, and they wouldn't put their shoes on. They put their shouting shoes on. I come to shout because I come to church tonight, you know. And it, I realized real quick there's a difference between church and church. And it has to do with your attitude, I guess, the way you come. You come expecting. You come expecting to meet God, to hear God. Amen. You come expecting to get something, hallelujah, to contribute your worship, your praise, your honor, and also to walk out of here better than you walked in.
That's right.
Amen. That's my prayer, actually, every church service. And we should come that way. Every time I get into the Word of God, every time I pray, every time I go to church, I should have this expectancy that I'm going to be changed. I'm going to walk out better than I walked in. You know, there's two things. If you come to church, you'll never be the same. Come hungry and come willing to change. Because that's what happens to us, isn't it? We meet God, we find out things we need to change that we can change. And it's always changed for the better. So we want to get changed, we want to get challenged, and we want to get charged, hallelujah, with the Word of God. Thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark 5th chapter. We've been teaching on an interesting subject, and let me say it out and play it out, is the human element in the miracles of God. I think we often leave our part out of it. Now, I'm not saying we earn a miracle or earn a prayer answered or earn a healing or earn a move of God. Of course we don't. We don't work for that. It's by grace and it's a gift and it's free. And our faith doesn't turn God on. We don't have God in a box. We're flipping switches and pushing buttons. But our faith does turn us on. It gets us in position. Are you with me? We talk about believing God and standing on the Word of God and confessing the Word of God. We're not talking about manipulating God. You're not going to move God. God's already on the move. What you do is move yourself. It's just like a quarterback. You know, he's throwing that football, and football season's over and Romo's gone. My. But anyway, he's throwing that football, and Romo's going to be throwing it somewhere else in Dallas, looks like this year. But if the receiver isn't where he's supposed to be, if he didn't run his route, then he wasn't in his position, he won't catch the ball. Are you with me?
Yep.
So you have to be in position to receive from God, and faith puts you in position. That's all it boils down to. You're not making God do anything. You're not making God heal or making him a healer. He already is a healer. He already heals. You're not making him save you when you call on him. He already is a savior. He's already saved you. You want to know the truth? You just hadn't received it. And the whole world, there's a whole world of people in hell that had salvation given to them. They didn't accept the offer. They didn't receive it. Are you with me? It wasn't that God didn't stretch out his hand. It wasn't that God didn't, his voice wasn't heard in the earth. It wasn't that he didn't move. Of course he moved. He moved 2,000 years ago. It's like a game of checkers. He moved. Now it's your move. So many times we're waiting on him. He's waiting on us. He's already moved. He's waiting on us. And this is what you see in these individual cases. I remember studying the book of Mark many occasions. I'd take a book and read the whole book every day for 30 days. And it would just come alive. You know, you'd catch patterns, I guess you'd say, things that be repeated over and over that God wants you to see. And I've done that many occasions, the book of Mark and different books in the Bible. And one of the things that I begin to see is the movement of people toward God. It wasn't that God just showed up. Did you know God didn't go to any leper colonies? But there were lepers that came to him.
Yeah.
And actually, Jesus, if you follow him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, streets of Capernaum, shores of Galilee, and watch him heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils and give to the poor and forgive sinners. And you'll find he just moves through a town and people start following him. He'd go in the wilderness and they'd follow him. He'd get in a boat and they'd come to the seashore. They would bring multitudes to him. And they would cry out to him. And we went over in the second chapter, Mark, where the man was let down through the roof. Those men, four men that had that friend, well, thank God this friend had four friends. when they got to where Jesus was in Capernaum, to this house, it tells us it was so full you couldn't even get in the door. Now, most people just won't fight a crowd. Are you with me? And in our thinking, in our day, we would say, is he going to be here tomorrow night? We'll just come back tomorrow night and try to get here a little earlier. But no, they believed Jesus was reachable. They believed he was touchable. They believed they could get to him if they had to take the roof off, which is what they did. They climbed the roof, and they took the roof off and let him down through the roof. And this man got a miracle. It actually says when they let him down through the roof, Jesus seeing their faith, said, son, your sins be forgiven you. Of course, the religious crowd went crazy. Who is this man that forgives sins? And they reasoned among themselves. And Jesus, of course, says, why do you reason among yourselves? That's a good question. Why do we reason among ourselves? Why don't we reason with God? You know, Isaiah 1:18 says, is it 1? Yeah, 1:18. It says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Notice what he does not say. Y'all go reason amongst yourselves. Yeah. No, it says, come, let us reason together. And that's where we go wrong. We start reasoning among ourselves, and we reason ourselves out of it. And all we need really is to reason with God. Mm-hmm. When you know what he has to say. So Jesus said, why do you reason among yourselves? He said, whether it's easier to say, son, your sin be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk, but you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. I say unto thee, take up your bed and walk. And he immediately took his bed up, walked in the presence of them all. And they glorified God and said, we've never seen it on this fashion. Well, what we miss sometimes is the persistence of these people, the passion of these friends, and their relentlessness to get to Jesus. There would not be denied attitude, not quit until we get this. Won't let go till you bless me. Are you with me? I will not quit. We often quit. And we're kind of even an easy believism attitude where, you know, if it doesn't change immediately, we think it didn't work, or maybe God didn't want us to have it, or just not worth the fight, and on infinitum, all the reasons in the world. And that's what happens is every reason you come up with for not getting your miracle just makes not getting your miracle more reasonable. Okay, so, but when you look at these individual cases, and we're just staying in Mark, of course, many of these are repeated in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many of the similar stories. They're called the synoptic gospels or similar gospels. That's what it means, the same, synoptic. When you look at these cases, there's detail there. There's interaction. There's conversations between Jesus and these people. There's a description of what they did, what they said. That's on purpose. The reason that's in there so that you can do the things they did and get what they got. Yeah. God is no respecter of persons. So if you do what they did, you'll get what they got. If you'll have that kind of passion, because that's what faith is. It's a passion. It's a focus. Now, I'm talking about the supernatural and miracles and healings here, but it could be anything. Whatever promise God made. It could be salvation. If you want to get saved, you're not going to get saved unless you call on God. From your heart, passionately, you have to believe. Yeah. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. Romans 10:13. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Yeah. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now notice, he's telling you to do something. You don't earn your salvation. Faith is not a cause of your salvation. It's just the condition. The cause is Christ. Woohoo! Yeah. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. Y'all are excited. I know we didn't have enough coffee. I know it's an hour early. Bear with me. The more y'all get involved, the quicker I'll let you go. Okay. All right. But you know and I know that salvation comes as we come. The great clarion call of the Bible, Jesus, is not, I will come to you. No, he already did that. Okay. It is, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you life. Amen, I'll give you rest. So we have to come to him, and we have to call on him. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone that knocketh, the door be open unto them. Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. So there's a condition, okay? Not the cause, but the condition. No faith is going to heal anybody. Jesus is the healer. Our faith connects with the healing. Amen? No faith really saves us technically. I mean, Jesus saves us, but faith connects with the salvation. Faith is like the connectors that you hook onto the battery. And God is the source. He's the power. He's the lover of our soul. He's the one that did all that could ever be done that you couldn't do. But what we do through faith is connect and draw out the juice. Hallelujah. Draw out the power. So this is what we see. It's a common element that you see over and over and over in the scripture. Matthew 5, have you found it? Mark. Did I tell you Matthew or Mark? Mark, good, good. Mark, good book. One of my favorite books. One of my favorites. I've got 66 favorite books. This is one of them. All right. Notice what it says. Now, pay attention, because I think what happens is we often lose instruction. We don't listen to instruction. We kind of think it's like a magic wand. God's flying around like a little angel, and he's got this little wand, and he just, ding, he saves you, or bing, heals you, or it's just random. Well, God doesn't do random, really. He doesn't. When you call, he answers. And he's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to push himself on you. He's a perfect gentleman in that sense. And the reason is, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he actually loves you. He loves me. And he wants that to reciprocate. He doesn't want to dance with a mannequin. He doesn't want to pay you to dance. Are you with me? He wants you to dance your own free will. And so if he just saved you without your choice involved, if he just healed you without you having any involvement in it, if he just answered prayers you never prayed, hello, you know, come on. You got to pray. You know, Brookshire, come on, you got enough sense to know that Brookshire puts a sale on, they're not going to bring it to your house. You have to show up. And you can't complain about not getting the sale item when you didn't go down there, when it told you in the paper, this day it's this price. You show up, you can get it at this price. That's the call. There's the promise. There's the scripture, as it were. Often kid about Brenda, you know, she'll lay that sell paper on that counter if they won't give it to her for that price and say, it is written. Hello.
That's right.
There it is. But you do have to show up. And that's what God just wanting us to show up. Amen. So Matthew 5, actually there's several miracles that take place here. In Matthew, the fifth chapter, Mark. Yeah, they're all good. Matthew's a good book. I think Matthew 5 is a good book. Yeah, that's the Beatitudes. That's a good one. Fifth chapter. But anyway, fifth chapter of Mark's where we are, or where y'all are, and I'm trying to get there. It says in the 22nd verse, this is after Jesus delivered a man that was demon-possessed. That's interesting, too, because the man had enough sense, even though he was possessed, he had part of his faculties, because when Jesus landed on the shore, it says he ran to him, fell down, and worshiped him. So you can't really leave that out either. I guess if he hadn't come, Jesus would just gone right on by him somewhere else. But the man ran to Jesus, fell down, and worshiped him. Of course, the demon cried out and everything. Jesus delivered him. Well, here in the 22nd verse, it says of Mark, the book of Mark, fifth chapter, says, behold, there cometh one, this is King James, there, yea, verily, forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, what do you see here? Jesus walking along, and here's a ruler of the synagogue. He comes to Jesus. Okay? He's not waiting for Jesus to just show up at his house. Maybe he'll come by. Maybe he won't. You never know. You know. Maybe Jesus will, maybe he'll come my neighborhood. It doesn't say that. It says he came to Jesus. And this is a common thread, a common element that you see throughout individual miracles in the Bible. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't know how we miss that. We're real random about it. Well, whatever. You know, if it's God's will, it'll happen. If it's not, it won't. You know, that's kind of the way we look at it. But the thing is, this is God's will. It's God's will you be saved. But you do have to call to receive it. You have to pray to enter into that agreement, that contractual agreement, as it were, to say, here I am, Lord. I come, I call, I accept, I receive. Amen? I remember, you know, somebody witnessed me for years, but it wasn't until I prayed. I mean, witnessed me for months. And it wasn't until I prayed that I got saved. It was available. It was there. It was done 2,000 years ago. It was offered to me. But it wasn't until I accepted it that the connection was made. Because God's a relational God. He's not about power. God has power. Of course he has power. He made everything that is. But God is about love. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to interact with you. You know, he fellowshipped with Adam in the cool of the evening. He'd walk with him and talk with him. He didn't have to do that. But he actually loves us. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I mean, he's crazy about you. Jesus came and died. He didn't have to come and die. He died for you. He didn't die for himself. He died for you. And then he hung on the cross, and then he told you, if you'd call on him, if you'd come to him, he'd receive you. If any man comes to me, I will not cast him out. If any man comes to me, I will not cast him out. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. The spirit of the bride say, come. Or the last chapter of the Bible, New Testament. Come, call. Call unto me, I'll answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Call. See, everyone that calls, he answers. The problem is we're just not calling. Amen. You know, we're not texting, we're not calling, we're not Facebooking, we're not doing something. We're not connecting there. And God wants a relationship. He wants us to call. He wants us to come. And he wants us to ask. Amen. Couldn't he just do anything he wanted to? Sure, he could do anything he wanted to, but then there'd be no relationship. None at all. I mean, if God just randomly did what he did and you had nothing to do with it whatsoever, there's no relationship there at all. Are you with me? That's just control. And God's not, he's not a control freak. He's not an egotistical maniac. Come on. He actually loves us, and that's what the Bible talks about. That's what free will's all about. That's why my choice matters, because in any environment when you have love, you got to have free will. You got to have choice. I can't make you love me, because if I could, it wouldn't be love. You know, they got robots now. You're taking the place of people. You're hearing a lot about that on the news. That's not what we are. Thank God God didn't make a bunch of robots. He gave us free will. Come to the dance. Okay, so, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. He's worshiping him. And he besought him greatly, saying, my daughter, my little daughter, lies at the point of death. I pray you, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, he didn't hesitate. This is interesting. Jesus went with him. See, you don't see in the Bible, and we often say this, and we say it from pulpits many times, but you don't see in the Bible people coming to Jesus asking for something, and Jesus saying, well, I can't do that. Or in your case, God's trying to work out something with you, so I'm not going to heal you. Or I'd like to save you, but really God doesn't want you to go to heaven. Are you with me? Now, see, it sounds good abstractly, because we really intellectualize these things, and we psychoanalyze God and the purposes of pain and so on and so forth. But really, when you get down to it, it just doesn't fly. Or as we say in East Texas, that dog doesn't hunt. Hello. And you don't see it in the Bible. You don't see Jesus doing that. You don't see Jesus saying that there's some purpose for your pain. There's some purpose for your disease. This woman with the issue of blood, he heals later on here. He didn't say, well, God was working out something in your character. He didn't say that, never said that. He didn't say the man with hand that was restored whole is the other. He just said, stand up and stretch out your hand. He didn't say, hey, God's trying to work on your character, man. You need to get right. Something wrong with you. God's trying to humble you. Doesn't say that. Are you with me? You don't see that with the one with the issue of blood, Jairus' daughter, the demoniac he just set free, the man let down through the roof, sick of the palsy, the woman that was bent over 18 years in Luke 13 chapter that was healed, blind Bartimaeus, the list goes on and on and on. Jesus healed the blind. Jesus opened up deaf ears. Jesus healed cripples because legs were made to walk with. Legs weren't made to teach you a lesson. They were made to walk with. Eyes weren't made to make you humble. They're made to see with. Are you with? There's other ways to humble yourself. Are you with me? There's other ways to develop character. But no, Jesus healed blind eyes because they were supposed to see. That's what he made them for. That's what all miracles do. That's what all healings do. There's nothing really weird about this. We're not turning pumpkins into coaches and mice into coachmen. This is not fairy tale stuff. When God does a miracle, does a healing, it fits creation. The ears don't see, they hear when they're healed. Eyes don't smell all of a sudden, they see, which is what they were made to do. And legs walk, that's what legs were made to do. In fact, after the miracle, there's nothing really strange. In fact, everything's normal, isn't it? A cripple that walks is just walking like you've been walking all your life. That's what legs are supposed to do. When he restored the man's hand and made it whole like the other, notice the wording, he restored it and made it whole like the other. In other words, now it's normal. The sickness was an abnormality, just like sin is an abnormality. In fact, you're not whole without healing no more than you're holy when you have sin. Sickness keeps you from being whole. Sin makes you keeps you from being holy. Now, I understand we're going to die. I understand we're in a fallen world. I understand we get hit with sickness and disease. I'm not saying you're not ever going to get sick. I'm saying you ought to try to get well every way you can. You ought to go to the hospital, take medicine, surgery, whatever, and by all means pray and ask God to heal you. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. In fact, you shouldn't try to get something done in the natural that you wouldn't pray that God would do in the spirit. In other words, that's inconsistent. So you're saying God's making you sick to teach you something, and you're spending all your money trying to get well and get yourself out of the will of God. If God's trying to teach you something, then you just need to enjoy your sickness and don't go to the hospital, don't take your medicine. Now, you know you're not supposed to be that way. You know that in your knower, no matter what anybody teaches from the pulpit. You know sickness is bad. I know it's bad. It's not good. There's nothing good about it at all. The Bible calls it a curse, not a blessing. You say, well, it's just the sufferings of Christ. No, Jesus never was sick. He never suffered sickness. And he didn't make anybody sick. Gave the Pharisees a headache. That's about all you could say. But he healed sickness, raised the dead, cast out devils, stopped storms. And he didn't show us a good side of God. And the Old Testament's a bad side of God. Jesus didn't show us a side of God. It says he fully declared him. He's the express image of his person. He wasn't Moses. He wasn't Jeremiah. He wasn't Ezekiel. He was not Daniel. He was not a prophet. He was God in the flesh. And if you've seen him, you've seen God. You want to know what God does? Follow Jesus. Walk with him on the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. Watch him heal the sick and raise the dead. That's God. God's good. God's into life. Something's wrong with the world, no doubt, but it's not God. Okay. There's enemy-occupied territory down here, and Jesus proved it. He came to a war zone. He began to cast out devils. He had an opposition, the devil that tempted him in the wilderness, and he was constantly opposing him the whole time he was on the earth. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, be loosed from this infirmity? Luke 13, Acts 10, 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Your problem is not God. Are you with me? He's the lover of your soul. He's for you. But he's waiting on you to call. He's waiting on you to cry out. And here it is. Behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray you come and lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, no questions asked. And much people followed him and thronged him. So there was a multitude around him, a lot of people around him. And while he's on his way to do another miracle, we often hear this one, I don't bother God with my needs. There's so many other needs out there. Well, like God's not big enough to meet your need and theirs too? I'm just curious. I'm just wondering, I mean, is he just not big enough to meet your need? I mean, if everybody took that attitude, nobody would go to God, would they? Because there's always somebody worse. There's always somebody that needs it most, more than you do. And the thing is, we all need it. And we need to get over whatever it is that's got us messed up so we can go out and help others. If the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. You know, the idea that poverty is some kind of pious thing or a good thing. Where do we get that? Jesus said, give to the poor. He didn't say leave them alone, they're holy. He said, give to the poor. Because God doesn't like poverty. Now, what he's against is greed. He's not against just money. It's not the money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Ephesians 6:10. Okay, so while he's on his way to do a miracle, it says in the 25th verse, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and this is a major problem, 12 years this woman dealt with this, and had suffered many things of many physicians. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God for surgery and medicine. But you know, and I know they can't cure everything. Are you out there? I mean, thank God for everything man has done, mankind has done to help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. But let's be honest here. The buildings that we call hospitals, the four walls of hospitals, in this case, many, many walls, but there's more people die in those walls than any other walls built by man. Are you with me? With all the good they do, and we're pro-doctor and pro-hospital and pro-medicine. Are you with me? Our daughter's going to be a full-blown doctor in May. Start calling her Dr. Bird. She's going to be a D.O. I don't know how that spells out. I have no idea what she's going to be, but she's going to be a doctor. And if you want to know, ask Mama.
She will be a D.O.
She will be a D.O. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Anyways, okay, forget that. But she's going to be a doctor. She's been to medical school, was a nurse for 6 years, then went to medical school. Now she's going to be a doctor. We're four doctors in hospital. Why? Because we're for healing. We believe in healing. I believe God heals. I believe God's in healing. He's into it. Are you with me? I believe God's into prosperity. That means I believe in work. Yeah. Yep. I believe in jobs. Yep. Yeah. I believe in working on a job because I believe in prosperity. Are you with me?
Right.
I believe in trying to take care of yourself a little better because I believe in healing.
Right.
It's like George Byrne said, you know, when he got turned 100, I think it was, he said, if I'd known I was going to live so long, I'd take better care of myself.
Yeah.
But we're for that. See, if you're for doctors and you're for medicine, you're for getting well, you're telling me you're for healing.
Yeah.
But we're a living contradiction in some churches. We'll say God makes us sick for some reason to teach us something, and it's a blessing, and it's a good thing. And then we do everything we can to get out of it. Spend all of our money and all of our time and all the effort to get out of it. And see, we're conflicted, as it were. We're just conflicted here. We got to stop that insanity. Jesus is good. He loves you. He's for you. You ought to be praying for healing. You ought to pray for that doctor. You ought to pray for that medicine when you take it. Are you with me? Pray that surgery goes well or whatever it is. Let's believe God. Let's don't think God's against us somehow. God's for us, not against us. And besides that, if it's so good and it's such a blessing, how come there's none of it in heaven? No one ever gets sick in heaven. There are no hospitals up there. There's no funeral homes up there. You'll never go to another funeral. You'll never go to another hospital when you get to heaven. There is no sighing, no crying, no dying. The former things pass away. All things become new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm. But we had to pray his will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
It's already done in heaven. It's okay in heaven. You don't have to pray for heaven. You don't have to pray for anybody to get healed in heaven, anybody to get saved in heaven. You don't have to pray that God gets over depression. He doesn't get depressed. You don't have to pray for anybody or anything in heaven. We pray down here. We pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's our pattern. Amen. Because there's something wrong with the earth, and it's very plain there's something wrong with the earth. Sin entered this world through Adam, and it's been a mess ever since. And Jesus came along and he begins to straighten things out. Man, he's fixing things and fixing that and stopping storms and healing people and raising the dead and giving to the poor. Are you with me? Why? Because he hit a war zone. Nothing to be afraid of. I believe greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But that very scripture tells you that you have opposition in this world. Don't be afraid because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? Now beware your adversary the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. But you can resist, amen? So this woman, she had no question. She knew God wanted her well. She just needed to get to him. Are you out there? Jairus knew if he could just get to him, he could get healing for his daughter. So it says here, in the 25th verse, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Hey, don't give up. Come on, don't quit. Maybe you're at the wit's end, but just tie a knot. Come on, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot. When she heard of Jesus, oh my, that changes everything, doesn't it? When she heard of Jesus, see, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, Jesus brings hope. It brings healing. It brings help. It brings a cure. You got to hear, though. If you hadn't heard about Jesus, you need to find out about him. Amen? You're going to find out he loves you. He's for you. You find out he's Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You'll find out he's bigger than your situation and my situation. He's bigger than your mountain. He's bigger than anything you'll ever face in life. And he is waiting, willing, ready for you to call on him. She heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. This is an amazing thing. This is persistence. This is like taking the roof off. This is like crying out from the side of the road, Son of David, have mercy on me. When everybody's telling you to be quiet, you get louder. This is someone who will not be denied. This is a woman who comes not and meets Jesus. She comes up behind him. She didn't just grab him. She comes through a press of people, a multitude of people. She will not quit. She's in it to win it. She is going to get her healing. She's going to get, that's focus, that's faith. I am not going to give up. I am not going to quit. God, you said it. I believe it. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm not going to be distracted by this. I'm not going to turn around. I will be deterred. I'm not going to let obstacles stop me from achieving what you said. You promised that I could have. Are you with me? Because it starts with his word and his promise. We're not making this stuff up. We're pursuing him. We're pursuing what he does. We're pursuing his power and his strength, his love and his touch. Amen. We're coming to him. But we're not going to quit till we get there. Faith is a focus, is what it is. That's what you see in these people. You see a passion. You see an unwillingness to quit. Whatever it takes, can-do attitude. We're going to get to Jesus. And we believe that if we can get to him, we'll get what we need. They were convinced that what they needed was in him. And they were convinced they could get to him. So they took roofs off, and they went through crowds. This woman, and I like to think about it this way too. Sometimes there's a crowd of thoughts that keep you from getting to God. A multitude of thoughts and reasons why you can't have what God says you can have and can't do what God says you can do, and you aren't who God says you are. Crowd, multitudes of thoughts. We hear them all day long in the world that we live in. Reasons why we don't count and we're not important. God's not going to move on our behalf, and God doesn't care for us, and God doesn't do that anymore, and all those thoughts. But see, all those are just reasons for not getting what God says you can have. There may be a million reasons why you don't think you can get what God says or pursue God or touch God or reach God. There may be a million reasons, but there's only one reason you need to get to him, and that is that God said so. God promised. Amen? He promised. He really loves you. He really cares. You just got to get persistent. Turn your family over to him. Turn your marriage over to him. Turn your business over. Turn your life over to him. Amen? And get to him. That's what they did. These were real, real instances, real needs that God really cared about. We over-spiritualize all this and say, well, those things don't really matter. They did matter then, and they matter now. If this were your daughter or your mother or your sister or you, it would matter. Are you with me? And God cares. Are you determined? Are you focused enough? Are you willing to pursue until you get it? Amen? This woman did. She came through the crowd. You got to get through that crowd of thoughts and reasons and reach out and touch Jesus. Be so focused that you see nothing but him or his promise in this case. You know, she heard of Jesus. Well, what did she hear of Jesus? She heard something that made her want to get to him. Why? Because she heard he was healing people. She heard he was a healer. Now, if you've heard he doesn't heal, then it wouldn't compel you to go to him. If you heard it's passed away, it'd stop you from praying in many cases. But this woman heard something different. She heard that Jesus was healing people everywhere he went. She heard that people that got to him got a miracle. She might have heard about that man sick of the palsy let down through the roof, because that was in the second chapter. This is the fifth. She might have heard about people that just, if they could just get to him, if they had to get up on the stage. You know how some people do that? They'll rush the stage to get up on the stage where, you know, some concert's going on. They have to put security up to keep people from getting up there. Hello. They're just wanting to touch the star, as it were. Well, this is the star. Jesus is the star. We are the groupies. Amen. Okay, let's go on a little further. It says, she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched his garment. For she said, I love this. She said the right thing. See, we don't say the right thing. God's not looking for you to say, well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Yeah, we're not pulling the lever down here and hoping it comes up triple nickels. We're not in Las Vegas here. This is prayer based on God's word. If God promised it, he said it. Just like you were saved because you believed what John 3:16 said. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You decided to be one of those whoever's, and you believed. And many times you'll look back at that scripture and say, that's what I did. Praise God, I'll not perish, I have everlasting life. You have God's word on it, amen, and you acted on it, and you confessed it. That's how Romans 10:9, I quoted that earlier. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Well, I'd submit to you, there's many other scriptures that talk about other things. It talks about healing. There's James 5:14 that says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. 16th verse says, confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Good stuff, amen. That's just a scripture. God made a promise that if we do what he said to do, we get what he said he'd give. We meet the condition if we do our part, amen. This woman did that. And she confessed what she heard. She made it personal. She said, if I can touch, I like that. Oh, come on, you got to make it personal. You can't leave it in the abstract up there like a theory. You know, Jesus can't be a shepherd. He's got to be my shepherd. That's what David said. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, I shall not want. He said, he makes me lie down by the green pasture. He leads me by the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou knowest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Oh, come on. Me, my. Personalize it. Personalize it. See, the whosoever's got to be me.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? You got to make it personal.
Yeah.
Okay, so she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. I shall be whole. You know what she did? That's exactly what happened. It says 29th verse, after she did that, came in the press, came to the crowd, grabbed his garment. It says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. But not until she followed through in faith. She didn't feel first, then believe. She believed first, then she felt. See, you come in faith. You come not feeling. You walk by faith and not by sight. But if you believe, the feeling will follow. May not be right away, but it'll come. I mean, it'll come. But you gotta believe first. That's the exchange of heaven. That's the commodity of heaven. Faith. Faith. There's nothing you can do to pay for it other than believe. Y'all getting something out of this?
Amen.
Y'all sure are quiet. It's getting close. I'm going to let you out pretty quick. depending on how well y'all respond. Well, okay. I won't finish Jairus's incident because that's going to take too long, and I know you're thinking, man, that took she took 30 minutes. He's got enough. Don't. I'll let you out of here. But anyway, it says, 30th verse, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him. In other words, this wasn't even something that Jesus confronted the woman with and offered. This is something the woman believed for because she knew what Jesus was doing and that Jesus would do this for her. And she came in behind him, grabbed him, and power came out of him, and she was healed without any even confrontation with Jesus. Jesus didn't even offer it to her, as it were, because it was offered to everybody already, and she just believed that she just, like everybody else, and well, you should believe, God is no respecter of persons, and if he did it for one, he'll do it for you. Amen. He doesn't play favorites. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That can be you, could be me, could be anybody, but you're going to have to move. You've got to show up. You got to come. There is a human element here. Amen. And the human element doesn't make it happen. The human element connects with what's already available. You don't make the sale at Brookshire's. You show up and receive it. But if you don't show up, you don't receive it. See, that's what we're saying. So anyway, he turned immediately, knowing himself that power had gone out of him. He turned about and pressed and said, who touched me? Well, his disciples are thinking, wow, Jesus, maybe you're not, hadn't been by Starbucks yet or something, but man, there's a whole crowd around you. What do you mean, who touched you? Do you see the multitude thronging you? Who touched you? See, but this is a different touch. This is a touch of faith. This is someone who believed. Now that gets God's attention. That's what God's looking for. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's what Jesus said. Because he's looking for faith. He's looking for people that believe. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is one. And that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So we've got to believe that God exists. Obviously, we wouldn't come to him. But then we need to believe that it pays to go to him. It actually pays to pray. We should actually expect when we pray for God to do what he says he's going to do. That's what this woman did. She made that connection, and she got her healing, and Jesus noticed it. And it goes on and says this. His disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? I mean, it had to have a little sarcasm there. You got to see the humor in it. I mean, they're with Jesus, and they're thinking, oh, man, the sun must be getting to him. Maybe he needs to put something over his head. What's going on here? There's a whole bunch of people touching him. But he knew somebody touched him in faith. And he looked around about to see her who had done this thing. I like this. Have you done this thing yet? This thing called believing God? Have you done this thing where you really call on God and really believed him, really trusted him? Have you done that? See, if you hadn't done that thing, you're not going to get what she got. But if you really believe and you really come to God, then you can expect to have your prayers answered. You expect to get saved if that you need to be saved, to really believe and come to him in faith. And he said, he looked around to see her had done this thing. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And that's why we have this account, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these accounts, the same accounts in all three books. And he said to her, daughter, your faith hath made you whole. Your faith made you whole. Go in peace. Be whole of your plague. That's an interesting word, the word whole there. That word whole is sozo in the Greek. It's the word salvation or saved. In fact, Romans 10:9. Saved, it's the same word. It includes healing. So we say we're saved. Actually, the word saved in the Greek literally means deliverance, healing. It's translated healing. It's translated healing in James, the 5th chapter. It's translated whole right here. But obviously, it was a healing. It was a natural healing. So when we talk about Jesus saves and Jesus is Savior, literally that word is more loaded than just forgiveness of sins and going to heaven. It's used that way many different times. It's used for healing. It's used for deliverance. It's used for forgiveness of sins. In this case, obviously, it was healing. So I believe Jesus does save. I believe he saves us from all that afflicts us. I believe he saves us from depression. I believe he saves us from hell. I believe he saves us from our sins. I believe he saves us from sickness. Are you with me? Now, I don't always believe. You don't always believe. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Doesn't mean every time I pray, I'm going to get an answer. I'm not always focused. Are you with me? I'm not a bad person. I'm just not perfect. How about you? Anybody got everything they ever prayed for? Of course not. I don't believe God said no. I believe God said yes all the time. All the promises are yes and amen. But we're not perfect, and we don't always get it right. But we need to get back up and get to the drawing board. You know, I'm not perfect as far as just not sinning. Anybody lived, since you got saved, you ever sinned? Okay. All right. Aren't you forgiven? Weren't you forgiven when you got saved? Yeah, but you got to work on that, don't you? We're all working on it. Since you got saved, you've been healed?
Yeah.
I've been healed many a time. Have I got it every time? Well, no, sometimes I wasn't really focused like I should have been. And, you know, that's okay. I'm not a bad person, but don't blame God. God's there, and he's wanting us to come to him. Amen? And that's why I say take the medicine, go to the hospital. I remember Brother Osteen had open-heart surgery, and he believes in healing, and he preached it very strongly. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord. That's Joel Osteen's dad. But I remember people used to ask Brother Osteen, he'd say this. He said, people ask me, you believe in healing, why'd you go have open heart surgery? He said, because I didn't want to die.
That's right.
In other words, I wasn't getting any results. I'm not going to sit here and die. Yeah. When you can get some help somewhere, go get help. Let's get it. Okay. That help you?